and welcome to The Campaigns, the actual play podcast from the RPG Academy. I am Michael, and this is Dead Center, our newest Dungeons & Dragons 5e campaign series. This is episode 2, The Last Entry. In our first episode, our three characters that are playing this time, which are Bra, Bruthwall, and Mundus, were sent on a quest by a town elder to find Doramir, a half-elf healer of sorts that has gone missing. We made our way to his cabin to find that it had been attacked and ransacked by goblins. In this episode, we continue trying to unravel the mystery of where Doramir has gone. So here is The Campaign's Dead Center, episode number 2, The Last Entry.
Well, this goblin tries to wriggle away, and Mundus just grabs on a little bit tighter and absolutely squishes him. So you've just got goblin pulp in your hand right now.
Oh, ew.
That... So the other goblins are running away, shrieking into the woods. You guys are pretty well covered in goblin blood and viscera. And there is one goblin unconscious on the ground.
Do I still have enough goblin in my hand to throw?
Sure you do. I mean, it's kind of gushy, but...
Yeah, I flow my remaining goblin. And don't come back.
You hit two of the goblins that are fleeing with kind of a water balloon effect of their fallen comrade. And they will be plagued with nightmares and horrible visions of a terrifying orc for the rest of their lives.
Ew.
I wipe my hand off on my pants and lick my fingers clean.
Wonderful. So, with that success under your belt, what would you like to do, gentlemen?
I will secure the hostage from my murder-prone companion, and then I think we're going to check the boss to see if he has any drawings of this item or some sort of other plot devices on his person.
I'm going to sort of straighten myself up. I'll look a little bit sheepish, almost embarrassed, as I come out of my rage, and I will kind of walk over, and I want there to be like an goblin eyeball, like just kind of like hanging just on the side of my face that I don't see. So it's just like kind of here.
You got a little something. Never mind. That's fine.
It's fine. Yeah, it's fine.
Well, Scott, why don't you give me a perception check?
Oh, always with the perception checks. Can I roll my familiar's perception rather than my own in the broad daylight? It's fine
you
if
know
I
what?
Can't.
He can help.
He can help. All right. So I'm not
I
rolling
think he
with
can help
disadvantage.
You out.
Good. Good old broad daylight. Oh, 16 on the die plus 1. 17 total.
All right. What are Mundus and Bra doing while Bruthwall searches the body?
Well, while Bra is cleaning himself off of eyeballs and Bruthwall is just looting that body, I'm going to just immediately, I'm just going to walk towards the door and just walk through it, leaving a big half-orc shaped hole through the door and screaming, Doramir, you all right, buddy?
All right. So that happens.
So Bra would actually follow in after him, because I think that Doramir is also inside because of Francis.
Right, I forgot to tell them all that he's not here. Oops, oh well. Better that they don't know that I can sense where people are in the near vicinity. That sounds like a positive thing.
I will also give each of you two ticks of inspiration for... Ooh. All that wonderful role-playing during that fight, because that was just outstanding. Bruthwall, you search the two halves of the goblin boss's body, and you find a little leather satchel, and it was pretty much shredded in half by Mundus's axe. There is a scrap of parchment in there with some scribbles and scrawls on it. But you do not read two pieces of parchment, but you can kind of hold them up together and line everything up the right way. But you do not read goblin, correct?
That is correct.
Does your familiar?
Good question. I don't believe so, no.
I don't think the familiar grants you extra languages or anything.
No.
Okay. So you see some scribbles on here that you can't read. you are intelligent enough to make the guess, wild, wild leap of logic, that this was probably written in the goblin dialect, which you don't read.
No, but I at least can recognize the characters, and I recognize one of my characters who can read it. Once they're done digging around in the hovel and discovering that their companion is not there, I'll present it with them. Present them with it. Did I also find anything else of particular interest which I might need to conceal from my compatriots, like a ring of three wishes, or a precious diamond worth 1,000 gold, something like that?
No, I'm sorry.
Perfect. Good.
If you just would have gotten one more on that perception check.
Oh, so close. Next time. Next time I'll investigate the bodies rather than stare at them. Maybe that'll help.
There you go. Mundus, you are the first to walk through Doromir's wall.
And I do have dark vision, so there's no moment of adjustment between coming inside and outside.
True, true. What you find is that the house is completely empty.
I'm still going to look under, like, the carpet, underneath the couch.
No, he said completely empty. There is void. You walk through the door and there is blackness and nothing.
It's not a hole. A hole would be something. It's nothing.
Oh, my God. It's the never-ending story all over again. The nothing.
Some guy in a top hat riding a snail rides off in the background.
That's right. Really fast.
Quick, we need to ride a dragon. Snail. Remember some girl's name.
And then there's a bat that's just flying around, too.
I jump on Bra and stick my fist in the air and go, yeah!
I think that deserves inspiration. I'll nominate that for inspiration. We have a dragon to ride. How I forget that, I don't know. But
I don't know. I might penalize some inspiration if we continue with this trend.
All right.
Okay, that's the last tangent.
No! Wrong!
Mundus, the house is empty. Doromir is not there. But it has been ransacked. I mean, books and shelves have been turned over. Boxes have been opened and smashed on the ground. There's no rhyme or reason or pattern. I mean, this was very clearly the chaos of these goblins just treading this house. But since you are looking around, poking through the mess, you and Bra can both give me perception checks.
I do want to assign some meaning to it. Like, I'm going to look at it like I'm looking for some sort of pattern that I can, like, say that Bahamut is leading me this way or the other. It can be meaningless, but I would try.
Oh, absolutely. That's fine.
This is an investigation roll?
17 plus 4 is 21.
This was a perception check, Michael.
Sorry, perception. That's a 13, 12 on the die.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did persuasion, not perception. That would be an 18. I'm sorry.
Okay. What you notice as you're poking around is that underneath some of the chaos of the broken boxes and refuse, there is actually a trap door. And it leads straight down into the ground. And there's a ladder leading down as well.
I'm going to look over my shoulder and see if Bra is noticing this along with me and jump down the ladder.
Bra is very busy gaining a spiritual religious meaning from the pattern of broken glass at this moment in time.
All right, I'm just going to as I go down, but there's a trapdoor.
Scott, was Bruthwall just waiting outside, or was he walking towards the house?
I was walking toward the hovel, so I'll probably come in some vaguely opportune moment. Hey, I found a note, and what's that door?
Basically, as Bruthwall walks in through the giant Mundus-shaped hole in the wall, you see Mundus actually opening a trapdoor in the floor and just willy-nilly jumping straight down it.
Perfect. This is why I have friends like this.
I'm going to do a thing where I'm going to circle the room, and the way I did, I'm going to perfectly walk around the trapdoor with my back to it the entire time. Never noticing it, and then say, there must be a trap door, but I don't know where.
I love that.
He's like pulling on books to see if they come out, and a little hatch opens up. He's tapping on all the walls, checking the ceiling to see if there's anything. Yeah, yep, yep.
I give up. I don't see it.
I say, you know, we might want to check that trap door, right there. That one.
Huh. By Bahamut's beard. Hey, where'd Mundungus? Say Mandingus. Where did Mundus go?
Mandingo, I think, is down there.
They're both down there.
Oh, now I understand why he said trap door a minute ago.
Oh, right. Right.
All right. I will look down. Can I see the bottom? Can I see the broken body of Mundus where he's landed on like sharp spikes?
He's stuck in the hole wedge yeah. tight. Like the dad in Gremlins yeah. in the chimney.
Don't exhale, you'll only go lower.
Well, the pit that Mundus threw himself down was only about 10 feet deep.
But the spikes at the bottom are poisoned, so...
No, there was actually a little pile of soft earth at the bottom of the ladder. So, Mundus is fine. He's just hanging out there at the bottom. And, Bra can see him quite easily.
Quick question. Were either of you guys damaged in the fight? I know I took some damage, but was I the only one?
Yeah, I'm down 5.
I took 10.
Okay, I do have healing available. Not much, but some if we need it.
I mean, at this point, we're out of combat. I assume we would all just take a rest at some point or another, convenient time after we're done rummaging through the basement.
You have to take a full hour to use your hit dice. I don't think we can wait that long. So I will, I'll clap you on the back and give you 5 hit points for my lay on hands.
Oh,
I'll just
I love your handies.
I'll slap myself as I get to the bottom of the pit. I'll just slap myself in the face twice and give myself 10 of my hit points.
Pump yourself up. So I'll like.
Are you just gonna fist pump?
I'll brush your hair back and like straighten your collar, straighten your hat, and in doing so, I've refreshed you and prepared you for it. Cool. All right, then I will not jump because my dexterity is piss poor, but I will shakily descend the ladder behind Mundus into the darkness.
All right, I'll take it up the rear.
Wonderful.
Good.
Just wonderful.
Uh-huh. The pain that Michael knows all too well.
Hey-o.
Well, they're doing something, but it sure isn't following the plot.
Okay, so, jumping back into the action here. You guys climb down the ladder, and you are in a little tunnel. There's a small pile of torches at the base of the tunnel. And there's some flints for lighting them.
Luckily, none of us need them.
Yeah.
I mean, of all the ways to put a trap in a dungeon, I'm going to put a bunch of torches down here, even though I have low light vision or dark vision as an elf. And the first time someone lights them, they will be immolated to death.
Maybe he's nearsighted.
The tunnel that you are in has definitely been worked on by human hand, but it is mostly natural. So it's not like this guy dug this tunnel out, but he did shore up some of the walls and get everything in a manageable, easy to walk through fashion. It extends out in front of you about 50 feet.
So we know that this was hewn by half-elven hands, not goblin hands or ancient dwarven hands. This is a contemporary tunnel change?
Most likely, yes.
Okay, and we also... So it goes forward 50 feet, then what happens? Just stops?
There's a dead elf at the end of it against a blank wall.
how far is your dark vision?
Mine's 120. Because...
Mine is 60.
Underdwarves are awesome.
So, quick question. In what direction is the tunnel going in relation to the house? Are we going further into the woods, left, right, east, west?
Good
up,
question.
Down?
Further into the woods, deeper into the woods and the mountains, because this was back kind of towards the mountains. You can see that the tunnel, after about 50 feet, hangs a right.
Hey, it turns right up here, you guys.
All right. I think we go 50 feet ahead and turn right.
Okay. As you proceed down the hall and turn the corner, the tunnel starts to open up after a little bit, gradually getting a little bit wider, and it ends up taking you into a natural cave that is underground. Why don't you all give me a perception check?
Oh, all these perception checks. We're all bad at that. Can't we just use passive perception to miss whatever detail you're trying to get, show us? Oh,
I got it.
Can I roll separate for my... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I got
19 plus 1 is 20.
8 plus 1 is 9.
Can I roll separately for my familiar?
Sure, why not?
I did real bad, but my familiar amazingly did much better. 18 plus something.
Okay, well, Mundus, the big dumb guy, is really good at seeing things.
Hey, he has a 10 intelligence.
He's still a big dumb guy.
It's still his dump staff. Yep. But, you know.
All right, so you guys get into this cave that is opening up a little bit, and after a second, you see that this cave is actually full of fungus that is growing on the walls and the floor. There's actually a bunch of rock formations, stalactites and stalagmites, and there's just fungus and moss and all kinds of weird mushrooms growing everywhere. And Bruthwall, you are slowly realizing that this is where the hermit Duramir actually harvested a lot of his supplies from.
Turns out he was a farmer. Never one thought he was a hunter-gatherer.
And so you're looking around a little bit, and then after a quick second, Mundus, you see some movement towards the back of the cave.
I'll wave at the movement.
It waves back at you.
Hey guys, he's over here.
And I'm going to proceed forward, careful not to step on any of the mushrooms.
There's definitely a bit of a path that you can step on carefully.
Stay on the path.
As we go by, I'm going to kind of elbow Bra in the ribs and point at the mushroom and says,
you want to go on a magical journey with me?
Another one?
It's all natural.
So is it in fact a half-elf waiting back at us, or is it, you know, the Terminator?
It's a doppelganger.
It's only one of those two options, Scott? That seems pretty extreme from one way to the other.
Have you seen this boy? Ah!
Are you Sarah Connor?
Yes, exactly. Yes, two options.
Well, you know what? There's a third option, because it is neither a half-elf nor a sentient cybernetic android played by an aging weightlifter.
Okay. What is it? Stop telling us what it ain't and tell us what it am.
I like
it. What do my orc eyes see?
I like it so much better by telling you what it isn't. It's more fun.
Keep guessing.
Is it bigger than a bread box?
Yes!
Is it animal, vegetable, or mineral?
Vegetable.
Does it engage in bipedal locomotion?
Yes!
Hey! A bipedal vegetable. Oh. Is it Sarah Connor?
Treant.
Yes, it's Sarah Connor. You win. All right. You guys get to... you proceed towards the back of the cave where Mundus has seen this movement. And as you get a little bit closer, you actually see what appears to be a giant, somewhat...
A giant? Oh, my God!
A giant mushroom that looks kind of humanoid. It's standing there. It seems to have arms and legs. And you could kind of envision that some of the growths under the mushroom cap look kind of like a face. And it stands there looking at you for a second and motions at you and waves at you.
Well, once it's waving and motioning and has a face, that the diplomatic training takes over, and I start in common in a couple other languages I know, and I say, hello, peace and well met, creature.
The creature does not respond to you, but after a beat, you notice a kind of odd tingling sensation in your nostrils.
I moved my tail out of the way. I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
Okay. Now there's still another tingling sensation. It's just not as intense. And your eyes pick
and
up.
That's not your nostril.
If it communicates through pheromones, it's going to take a lot of like armpit and butt speech lessons for us to be able to have a conversation. Right.
Quick, Mundus, do some squat thrusts and work up a musk.
I got a Rosetta Stone program for pheromones.
Ah.
I begin flapping my arms.
All right. So yeah, Mundus is sitting there trying to communicate with exercising.
There's a lot of flexing.
Guys, we need to be careful. I was told there were some killer shrooms in the forest.
Mundus,
give him inspiration.
Mundus is strength.
Yes, for derailing. That's what we're giving inspiration for as players. For derailing the DM's plot.
Who can make this?
You know what? Sure, go ahead and take it. I don't care.
Yes. All right.
So Mundus is trying to communicate via exercise. Bra is trying to discern the spiritual meaning of these mushrooms. But Bruthwall, as the most intelligent and level-headed of the party...
That's not saying much.
What you realize after a moment is that there is almost a cloud or an aura that kind of has a bit of a glitter to it around this giant mushroom man. And you feel a kind of tingling in your head, and suddenly you hear a voice in your head. And you are quite familiar with telepathy, given you're familiar. But this is a voice you have never heard before. And it is this mushroom man speaking to you.
Do you know the mushroom man? The mushroom man? The mushroom man?
And the mushroom man says to you in a very odd voice that you've never heard before, "You are not the pointy ears. Why are you in our domain?"
I taking a guess that it doesn't have visible ears but can read my thoughts, I think back to it. I say, we are friends of the pointy ears. He is lost. Have you seen him?
He has not been here for many days.
About 14 many days? Because that's how long we haven't seen him.
Yes.
All right. There were some goblins outside looking for an item. Would you know what they might be looking for?
What are goblins?
Oh, smaller green ones.
I pick the eyeball off of Bra and hold one up. They got eyes like this.
Oh, God.
There have been none of these small creatures in my domain.
Oh, that's good. That's positive. All right. I guess, you know, the leader of the town needed some more of these herbs. He was asking the pointy ears for them. So I could pick those up on our way. But if you do see the pointy ears, please, let him know that we're looking for him.
When I last saw the pointy ears, he was seeking a cure for the poison that affects my people.
Oh, that the diplomat training kicks in again, involuntarily kicking me to say, "Oh dear, a poison afflicts your people? How can I help?" Oh, God damn, I don't want to help the mushroom people. So I say, "How can I help?" You know, the whole thing.
Is it heroin?
Those are the poppy people.
The malady that affects my people stops the healing properties of the ones the pointy ears gathers.
I thought you were going to say erectile dysfunction, and they all kind of lean to the side.
So would you say they have a fungal infection?
I was really hoping you'd say daylight. Like, oh yeah, yeah, we can build you a little hut. It'll be fine. Some sort of lean-to, a little structure, and your mushrooms will be just great. No, that's a little harder to fix. I'll ask if the pointy ears had a hunch or said where he was going to solve this.
Pointy ears did not give an exact answer, but he said he must search the cause of the scourge.
Mm. So can you put a marker icon on my map for cause of the scourge? That'd be no. Okay. Well, it was worth asking. Yeah. Well. And it occurs to me right now. Oh, by the way, fellas, I found this note on one of the goblins. One of you can speak goblin, right? I mush it into one of their faces. Mundus, right? Mundus.
I snatch it and hold it, you know, turning it upside down, left and right. And eventually I figure out what it says, but, it takes a while. Bra's leaning over my shoulder. No, you got that one upside down.
Well, there are two parts of the note, so I'm guessing there's a little bit of puzzlement as you try to put these back together.
That's an Oxford comma.
They both have one half the note. They're like, this makes no sense.
Oh, yup. My bit of the note doesn't make no sense neither. Oh, yup.
I think this might be some sort of code.
Oh, yup, I think we might need to interrogate that last goblin. Except we left him upstairs and he's not tied up or nothing. He might have gotten away by now. Oh, yup.
Oh, no.
What we've established is that you don't actually need Paul and I to show up. You can just need the Caleb and Matt and Scott show.
We're all expendable.
Yeah.
What we've established is that your characters have personality and mine has none yet. That's okay.
Yeah, but yours has a beard.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And waggly eyebrows.
So after some shenanigans, you guys finally put the note together. And what you find there is that there were instructions to the goblin boss to find the healer's house and locate a cure.
Ooh.
I control left for the healer's house. Can I Google map that?
That's where you just were.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Success.
Bing, you are there.
I get it. I knew him as the herbal hermit, not the healer. That's interesting. Okay. All right. Good. Well,
you knew him as the shroom dealer.
They're also looking for a cure. But for what? To what purpose?
Maybe they're infecting each other.
This is a real mystery for the ages. I say we go back to town and have a drink, think about it.
Now, there is still a goblin that you knocked unconscious upstairs.
Yeah. I guess I'll go tend to that. Leave the shroomlet to its shroomy ways. Of course, my character would bid it the formalist of leavings, promising that it will right this wrong the best I'm able, and that our mutual peoples will come to a beneficial understanding that, yada, 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 non-speak and double talk.
Oh, absolutely. You politician the hell out of that. Goodbye.
Awesome.
I'm going to teach him a couple, stretches he can do to prevent back problems and lifting. I'm going to.
What is a mushroom lifting? Instruct
him to warm up. It doesn't matter.
All right.
It doesn't matter if he's genetically able to perform these feats. I'm duty bound by my.
By your god. Yes, of course. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
And I will flourish a bow and give him Bahamut's blessing. And then I will turn quickly, and as I do, my trident will get caught on either side of the tunnel, and I'll actually, clothesline myself as I try to walk away with, a flare.
Man, Dingus and Doofus are the best companions ever.
I love how we swing from these great little moments of role-playing to just the Three Stooges.
Hey,
I want Bruthwall's Raven to have a little trombone every time we do something.
I'll get a parrot next time.
I'm gonna.
The Raven is our Greek chorus.
I'm gonna name that Raven Riker, and he's gonna trombone the shit out of you guys.
I was assuming he just facepalmed
he sits down.
Oh, yeah, whenever he sits down, he throws his little claw over the back of the chair.
Whenever he lands on a branch, he always throws his one leg over it.
Does that Raven have a little goatee? That's not important right now. Does that Raven have a beard this season?
He didn't for the first season, but when he came back, he just rocked the hell out of that goatee. All right, so you guys can leave the cave and go back up the ladder. And you know what, Bra? As you guys are leaving, you actually notice that something catches your eye here, that there is a little bit of an underground river that you didn't see when you first walked in. But as you are leaving, now that you've kind of refocused a little bit and you have a bit of a mission, it catches your eye.
Okay, I will go closer.
Are you going to inspect this river or just what?
Well, we're still looking for Pointy Ears, though I kind of doubt he could have got down here without the mushroom people seeing him. But if this was an avenue that he could have taken, possibly. So I'll look to see if footprints or maybe there's like a boat launching something or anything.
Some sort of submersible?
Yeah. No. There is no submersible. There's no.
Is there a supermersible?
No.
Is there a dead half-elf?
There's not a dead half-elf. There's not a boat.
Terminator!
And there is not a Terminator either. there is... this is more of a stream than a river, but you can definitely see that it winds its way through the cave and comes from deeper back into the cave, which comes from the mountains. So it is not difficult to assume that this stream trickles down out of the mountains and actually is the water supply to cultivate these mushrooms and growths.
Aha. So if we're assuming that maybe the goblins came from the mountains, they may be afflicted by a malady that's affecting the water supply, as are the shroom people. And so the half-elf has gone that away, and the goblins came here to look for the cure the healer may have had, erroneously thinking that he had a bag labeled water supply cure.
I kill Scott's character for being a witch. Not sure what you just said, but it makes me angry.
As Breathwall is speculating all of these things, I put my axe down and start doing some one-handed push-ups.
That is all acceptable.
Good, good. So we go outside. Is the goblin that we forgot to tie up still there, unconscious?
No, I'm going to say that you did tie him up, because you told me that you did make sure he would stay there for a moment in passing.
Yeah, I made sure that he was safe from my companions that murdering him.
You
but
know
yes.
what?
It's much better that you chose the way that he stayed put rather than me, because I was just removed his arms and legs.
I took that to mean you tied him up somewhere safe.
Perfect.
So, GM assumption in your favor.
Perfect.
He's just tied to Mundus's back, actually. He's been with us the whole time.
He's carrying him I never even noticed.
What? Yeah. What? So, I thought that was
his thing on my back.
Bra wants to take a long draw from my water skin and basically empty it, and then I want to refill it with the water from the stream, and then we can check it later. I'm not going to drink it. I want to check it later when I can get a detect poison and disease spell and see if there's anything, you know, poisonous in it.
Oh, I wish you hadn't qualified that. You can do that.
Ah, yay. Now, the question is, will I remember and drink from it, or I'll forget and drink from it later on accident,
wipe
or someone
breath.
Else will be thirsty and just be like, here you go.
Perfect.
Oh, trust me, I will pay attention to what happens.
Okay.
I will write on the outside something very ambiguous, like
poison
river water.
Bad.
So that I will know what that means, but anyone else that finds it will think that it's perfectly okay.
Like river water with a question mark?
Yeah. But it's after the river, so it's river, question mark, water.
Put some reference to Francis on there.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys get back up, you have a goblin that is still pretty much unconscious, tied up safely.
All right, so I assume these two will probably cover some sort of bad cop. I'll go ahead and wake up with a little bit of not river water and see if I can play good cop, except that I can't speak goblin. Do they speak common? I hope, because I was speaking to them before. Oh, good. Right, lucky. So I say, you know, awaken, little one. Tell us what you know, and we'll return you to your people.
You killed everybody. You'll just kill me, too.
That's not true. I take offense at that. Several of you managed to get away before we killed them.
The goblin cowers in fear at the towering giant of death that is speaking at him.
I'll say, now, I want to stand between you and my giant tower of death friend over there, but I can only protect you from him if you tell us what you know.
You were after the elf because your people are dying of some
Where's
sort of
the bomb?
Poison?
Oh, sorry. I got confused. Where is it?
All right, so you were interrogating the goblin.
I mean, we can rough over this part. Do we get any useful information out of it? I say, you know, we think your people were affected by this malady. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, everyone's sick. They told us to come here to get medicine.
And you did not find the healer, so you just tried to find the medicine?
Yeah.
We believe that the same malady that's affecting you may also be affecting the effectiveness of the medicine. So, to cure your people and help the medicine, which will help our people, we may have to work together to go upriver and see where the source of this problem might lie.
He has no idea what all those big words mean.
Come with us, and you will live. Come with me if you want to live.
Damn it! I walked into that one.
All right. So after a little bit of back and forth, it becomes evident that the goblin tribe was getting very, very sick. And they were sent down here to try to steal the cure from this healer because they just knew that whoever lived here could make people better. But they didn't find anything, so they're just looking for the medicine. And what you were able to figure out from the goblin piecing this information together and with Mundus's knowledge of the woods was that there is a goblin village further up the mountain. And it is built around a small little freshwater spring, not one that is part of the main tributary of the main river that
we all drink from and love.
Right, exactly. But it is a separate little freshwater entity.
Hayden's River, maybe.
Yes, it is not that river.
Okay. Well, that's positive to know that we can trust the water in our water skins. Does he imply to us during his ramblings about the relative rank of the guy we murdered to death versus the other people in the tribe or the camp?
Basically, in the goblin camp, there are two ranks. There's the goblin bosses, and there's the goblin underlings. The bosses are in charge.
We call them fatties and skinnies.
So how many fatties are there, besides the one we murdered to death?
A whole bunch.
Oh, good. Okay, so did he talk about any strategic resources or precious metals they had, aside from slave labor, that might make some sort of beneficial trading arrangement?
He does not understand any of those words.
Right. I didn't ask him about those words. I asked him about shiny things that they had, right? And, like, big stuff for the stuff the important fat guys were into, right?
No, there are no significant trade resources for the goblins.
Well, so at that point, the goblins are merely a threat and hazard, and we can murder them all, but I suggest we do that after we find the source of the poisoned water and stop it.
Can't we do them both at the same time?
That would require us to be in two places at once, Chunk.
The from what the goblin told you, it's only really about another hour and a half walk deeper into the woods. It's not really that far away, but because you're going up the mountains and deeper into the woods, it's pretty dense, so you have to take a roundabout way to get there.
I'm sure these guys know a good path.
Oh, I know the way.
Are you guys going to head off towards the goblin village?
So I do want to say, while this was going on, because earlier I was looking at the destruction the goblins had done, trying to find a pattern. Now that we know that the half-elf was already gone, I want to look through the belongings for any evidence of where he may have gone.
Like a map with that big X?
Or a letter from someone saying, hey, are you still coming to see me? Or what? A letter from grandma saying, I'm sick.
I assume that he went up, you know, he promised the shrooms that he'd cure their baldness or whatever, right? And their baldness is because of the water. And so we assume he went upriver. He took his super merciful.
If you want, you can make a search check, or in this case, perception.
Not investigate?
Or investigate, sure.
All of those are equally bad.
Are there any wildlife nearby that
seems like it might have been watching what's been going on for the last while, you know, say a bird, chipmunk, raccoon.
There's definitely always wildlife in the woods. And now that this little goblin raiding party is gone, that quiet you noticed quite some time ago has ceased, and the woods are full of life again. So there's birds, there's rodents, there's a little bit of everything.
All right, as my party is standing there bewilderingly, I'm going to get on my hands and knees and start crawling around looking for some sort of woodland creature and use a speak with animals as one of my spells.
Oh, I still have our turtle friend. Frederick was his name? Francis?
Francis.
No, I left him in town. He didn't see anything.
Yeah, you dropped him
anyway
to jog, but I don't really jog that fast, so I picked him up and carried him with because you said he was going to be important. I'm a good friend like that. Or at least I've been trained to be, against my better judgment and will.
Yeah, but Francis isn't a local. He wouldn't know what's going on with pointy ears.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
That's very true. Francis came from Hayden's village.
You could tell you Bra's measurements, but that's about it.
That's right. 24, 36, 24, 12.
Bam!
So I'm going to gather up all the papers and, you know, out of the floor and someone pick them up, and then I'm going to pile them into a pile, and then I'm going to set them on fire and read the smokes for signals, because apparently that's what happens when you roll. I rolled a 1 on my search check.
Oh, Jesus. I rolled an unnatural 20 on signals. Investigate. Does that help? Do I get good ideas out of the papers before you burn them?
You can find the one. You can find the one piece of paper I missed that's important while I'm burning the shit out of everything else.
All right.
Well, while they're committing arson, I'm going to use my speak with animals spell that lasts for 10 minutes to start questioning the locals, see where Doramir went.
All right. So this is wonderful. So, let's start with Bra, you gather up all these papers. No one's really paying attention to you while you're doing this.
Oh, yeah. Just
suddenly, the smell of smoke fills the air. Bruthwall notices, what the shit is going on? And you see this huge fire of all these important papers and documents. And Bra is just sitting there, cross-legged, lotus position, eyes closed, trying to it.
I tried and I crossed my knees.
Did he throw the dead goblin chief on the fire when he did that, so he could, you know, smoke a fatty?
I get it. I get jokes.
But luckily, a little bit of wind happened to blow some of the papers out of the way, and Breathwall can basically find the daily journal of Doramir. And it's not complete. Unfortunately, Bra ripped up most of it, and the goblins had destroyed a lot of it as well.
All you can read is says, "My greatest fear is that my work will be burned and never be known to humans again."
You can see the last few days, actually the last 2 weeks, of his journal were empty. And the last entry was from about 2 weeks ago. And, it describes a problem that he has been dealing with that is getting worse. And it simply says, "I have to find the source of this malady if I am ever to cease its effects."
Thanks for listening to the RPG Academy podcast, the flagship program of the RPG Academy Network. If you enjoy what we do here, then please check out therpgacademy.com and visit our site partners for additional entertainment and gaming advice.
We do this out of love for the hobby and for you, our fans. The podcast and site content will always be free for you to enjoy and utilize. But we do have expenses related to the show. If you'd like to help out in any way, please visit patreon.com/VRPG Academy and check out the rewards we are providing for your monthly pledges. We use all funds that come in to improve the show and give you better content and quality.
And if you don't have the coin to spend, don't worry. You can still help us out in many ways. You can subscribe to our show on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. You can leave us a 5-star review. Also, if you clear your cookies and you visit Amazon or the DriveThruRPG site through our portal, we get a small percentage of what you pay, and it doesn't cost you anything extra.
Just like any RPG, our site works best with open lines of communication. We love talking with our listeners about everything. Please contact us with any questions, concerns, and comments that you have. We also love to hear feedback and experiences from your own games. You can email us via podcast@therpgacademy.com and reach us on social media, such as Facebook and Google+, @therpgacademy.
But Twitter is usually the fastest way to reach us. You can find my favorite co-host, TheCalebG, @TheCalebG.
And you can find my favorite co-host, Michael, @TheRPGAcademy.
Thanks for listening, and as always, if you're having fun, you're doing it right.